Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another episode at the Pleasure Talks podcast. I am so excited to share with you guys this amazing episode. We're going to be talking about the vagina ecosystem today, and I am completely geeking out. For those of you guys who are new, the Pleasure Talks podcast talks about everything from cannabis to sexual health and spirituality and everything in between. So get your joints, papers, bong ready, and we're going to dive into a really juicy podcast. Today, we have the amazing Takiya. She is a certified nurse midwife, and I'm so happy that you took some time out of your day to speak with me because I am just so excited to get into this. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, me too. So tell us a little bit about yourself so we have some context. Being a certified nurse midwife, tell us more.
Yes, many people don't actually know what a certified nurse midwife is. I have been educated as a nurse first, and then I went back to graduate school to be certified as a midwife. A midwife is a person who walks alongside an individual historically who has had a vagina, right? An individual with vagina. And it's actually health maintenance from the time of menses or when you have your period until the end of life. So a midwife walks alongside a person who it was born with a vagina, and we help them to maintain health. And that looks like from GYN concerns and wellness, overall physical wellness from, you know, primary care, meaning if you had a sickness or a cold or something that you wanted to be seen for, you can see a midwife for that. And then that also goes into the next stage of some individuals' lives where they're looking at childbearing. And so midwives are definitely seen a lot in delivering babies, helping individuals through that process from pregnancy until birth. And then we also take care of the newborn in the first month of life. And then we walk alongside people for the remainder of their lives for subsequent babies and also, for end of life situations or just maintenance from that perspective. So we walk alongside individuals. That's really what midwife means. And we specifically look from a holistic role of care in the person's life, a holistic view, a philosophy of care. We're usually less medically individualized and more holistic in that sense, where we look at the person in totality. And that means all areas, all levels of their functioning and being.
Wow, that is so fascinating to me, and such a huge part of a person's life from menses to end of life. That's a big chunk.
Yeah, that is a big chunk.
Right? It makes me think, like, who wouldn't want to have that partner in their life? It sounds to me like a fairy godmother, right?
And you're absolutely showing you the right way. You're absolutely right. The fact that you said partnering, that's really how midwives view themselves in reference to their clients, is that we partner with you. And so I have had many clients, you know, that I am still caring for till today, who are saying, you know, you're like my auntie or my big sis, or I know I can always call and depend on you. So you're absolutely right. It becomes more of a friendship in that regard.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that perspective. I'm not thinking of having children anytime soon, but I know that when that time comes, I was definitely thinking of having a midwife involved, since it's such a big project. And I think that extra support is just such a beautiful experience in
its own.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you're full of knowledge. You are also a nurse, which is super cool. And when I took your online course that you did with All Bodies a few weeks ago, I was absolutely mind blown, guys. I was mind blown with how much knowledge is in this woman's head. I'm absolutely I'm so in awe. So I can't wait to get more into my next question, which is telling us more about the ecosystem in the vagina and why it's so important that we know a little bit more about it.
Right. So we are really learning. Healthcare used to be a very sterile medicalized situation where we would wash all of bacteria away. We thought bacteria was evil, hence the development of antibiotics and our overuse of antibiotics as well. And so we are now with research realizing that there is an ecosystem that lives and thrives on our bodies, in and on our bodies, that help us to maintain our health. Those microscopic organisms, bacteria, fungi, things of those nature, they actually help us to maintain our well-being and our livelihood. And so not only are we learning about what's called the microbiome in our gut, hence why the big push for probiotics and things of that, you know, strain of healthcare, we're looking at also how the microbiome affects our brains. We're also looking at how the microbiome is actually affecting our vaginal ecosystem. So the ecosystem actually is just another word for the amount of microscopic organisms that live in our vagina and maintain the health. So we definitely have learned with taking swabs of normal vaginal fluid and putting them under a microscope, we're seeing how many actual cells are existing in that one swab. And a lot of those cells are not just vaginal cells, but they also are cells that are microorganisms like bacteria and yeast. And so we're realizing that when those bacterial organisms and those yeast organisms, when they live in harmony, we see that the vaginal health is optimal and that we are functioning at our best vaginal.
That's so interesting. That's such an interesting perspective on like how healthcare, you know, and thinking of bacteria in such a negative term, kind of, because I can definitely vouch for taking way too many antibiotics than I ever needed at a certain time just to get rid of whatever I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I would do that multiple times growing up. And it wasn't until later in life that I learned that we do have healthy bacteria, including probiotics. I think it's funny how people don't think that probiotics are bacteria at all. They just think it's like another vitamin, but it's just good bacteria.
It's right.
So it helps us keep that perfect balance and flow that's needed. And it was super cool when I found out that your gut and the gut bacteria is heavily connected to your emotional well-being.
Absolutely.
And I think that is cool because I think what really put it down into numbers, into perspective, was that there are a lot of those microorganisms are what we get our B vitamins from, which is really interesting. So if we think of all of those B vitamins that are so healthy and happy for our brain, and that's out of whack, there's so many things that can get it out of whack. And I would love to just speak for myself, my own perspective for a moment. I am a woman who has dealt with BV, chronic yeast infections, my whole life, and getting put on antibiotics a million times just to figure out what it was. And I feel like because of taking so many antibiotics and still my doctors not knowing what it is really got things out of balance. So I really wanted to ask you this question is like, what are things that can get our ecosystem out of balance? Because I find that sometimes even if I have one glass of Chardonnay, it's going to be a flare up. Or it's just like, what are some things that we can look out for that could potentially unbalance our vaginal flora?
Yes. High sugary diets can affect our vaginal ecosystem. Mm. Yeast thrives with sugar. It actually grows in that environment. And so when we feed our bodies lots of sugar, and I'm sure you can see from many diets across the United States into Canada and other places in the world, sugar is like at the top of the list when it comes to foods. Actually, you know, food companies and food industries test how we respond to food by adding sugar so that it increases our, you know, happiness when we're eating. And so we're realizing that there's many, many sugars in most of our foods, and that has been causing a lot of damage to the gut and also to the vaginal flora. So we see that Individuals who have diabetes, who are struggling to maintain their sugar levels, or who also have heavy diets in sugar, will actually have potential vaginal issues. The other thing is alcohol, for the same reason, because alcohol really will turn into just sugar after being consumed. And so you end up having that same thing. So it makes sense that you would say that you would have a flare after consuming some wine or an alcoholic beverage. Other things that we see is that our industry, and I'm sure you understand this, has been really heavily laden with unnatural products and also natural products more recently regarding vaginal health. So there's been douching, you know, in our history of vaginal care. Lots of pads and tampons that are related to your menses care. There's other things, soaps and perfumes and edibles and all kinds of things that some individuals will use with experiencing sexual encounters. Things of that nature can sometimes adjust the pH, and pH is such an important thing in maintaining vaginal health. The reason why there is an actual bacteria that we have seen in the research that is heavily prevalent in the vaginal flora, that is called lactobacillus. That bacteria actually produces lactic acid, and it has a protective effect against sexually transmitted diseases and other bacteria that could potentially harm our bodies. And so because we produce that particular bacteria in large quantities, we also see, because it produces lactic acid, that the acidic nature of our vaginas is actually very, very low. So we're anywhere between 3.8 and 4.5 on the pH scale for vaginal flora. So whenever we affect our pH and change that, we can now give the signal to the other bacteria in the ecosystem to overgrow because we have less lactobacilli present. And so lactobacilli are like the police of the vagina. They keep everything in check. So what happens is when that pH is imbalanced, then we actually make an environment that causes the thriving of other bacteria, namely yeast. Another thing is when we are actually sharing toys with our partners, we're having saliva on our vaginal areas and also semen on the vaginal areas. Those two substances actually do not have a pH that is the pH of the vagina. And so copious amounts or large amounts of that can also affect the pH. And anytime the pH doesn't correct itself, then you can have a shift in the vaginal flora. Some individuals also notice after having their menses, because blood is also not acidic, it is more on the alkaline spectrum. And so you'll see that people after having their menses might notice a shift. However, because the human body is well designed, it will shift in the right direction after menses. It is when people have chronic infections that they have a harder time correcting and sort of going back into the replenishment of those lactobacilli. So what we've seen is overuse of products, misuse of products, and a surge of sex toys, and those use of sex toys between partners, because both females or individuals with vaginas and individuals with penises can reinfect an individual with those bacteria. So we are seeing it a lot with a lot of these practices, and people don't realize that they are probably causing their own chronic infections.
Amazing. There's so much that can go wrong. It's so easy. It's insane. And, you know, I feel sometimes insane just trying to get on top of my own pussy. And I'm sure that there's so many other women that feel the same way that I do, you know? So thank you so much for sharing all of that. I can definitely feel that diet is heavily related to my chronic ailments, finding out whatever it is. I think truly it's candida. My doctor refuses to acknowledge that candida is a normal thing or anything, which has been annoying. But mm-hmm. I do agree that it's definitely related to diet in terms of like breads and alcohols and sugars that I eat. Yes. So it definitely makes sense. I love what you mentioned about so many products on the market today that are becoming more popular, like douches and lubricants, really do have harsh chemicals or not the right pH level for our vaginal flora, which is creating a huge influx of women needing even more products to help deal with this issue, or not products. And I like that you love to mention, but dealing with it at the root of the problem and dealing it in the terms of like diet and lifestyle, including, you know, better cleaning procedures like with your sex toys. Like that's incredibly important. I don't feel like enough people mm-hmm. think of that, right? Especially yeah. if we're using sex toys for longer periods of times, and including your partner. There has been multiple instances where I've had yeast infections and I've treated it and it's gone away, but just not realizing that penis carriers can also very much carry yeast yes. infections and have no symptoms, but they won't know that they have those symptoms. Like you've mentioned before, like, oh, it's just an itch or it's just dry. You right. know, I find that yeast is so hard to really find and pinpoint, because in a male, it's really hard for them to pinpoint it. But I know for myself as a woman and a person who has a vulva, it's very related to my cravings. If I have really ridiculous cravings to the point where like, I know I can't stop myself, I'm going to eat that donut, I know that that's candida speaking and it's not me. And then I have to treat that right now before it gets any worse or gets out of hand. So yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Right. So those are all the things that, you know, can really affect the unbalanced vaginal flora. So what are things that we can do to keep it happy and healthy? I know that you've mentioned diet is incredibly important, but what are your thoughts on other things on the market today, as, you know, it's been, you hear the craziest things on the market these days.
You do. And I've not been a fan of the more popular things on the market, just because I find that they can perpetuate situations, especially someone who's dealing with a chronic infection. Mm-hmm. If someone has a chronic infection, they really just need to eliminate all things from the vaginal area for a good while until the body can replenish its ecosystem. And then they would also need to look at, you know, their diet specifically and, you know, and their practices for overall cleansing. The other thing too, I think that we've come to understand, and I really don't know where this has come from, but we view the vagina as dirty and its fluids as such, and mm-hmm. that we should clean it up and we should disinfect it. I have had clients using Dial soap and really harsh antibacterial soaps over their vaginas, and then they want to know why they're really dry and irritated. And I think that that whole mindset and that mentality that we as a vagina wearers, like I like to say, we need to clean it up or we need to do something with it instead of just being okay with whatever your vagina produces. And being fine with that and learning how to live with it, because that's your body. So that's one thing that I think people need to understand, is that vaginas are not dirty. You should inspect your vagina. You should look at your vagina. You should know what your vagina looks, feels like, and what's normal for your vagina. Because it's overall a very undermined and underrepresented part of our bodies. And it's very shameful when people cannot go to a provider and seek care and understanding, or that they feel that they have to suffer with these chronic infections alone because they've been shamed by, you know, our society to believe that there's something wrong. Or even if you have an odor that's associated with the vaginal changes that you've been experiencing, that should not be seen as, you know, a reason for not going to be cared for by a provider who understands and who knows. The other thing is just the chronic overuse of antibiotics. If you have a chronic yeast infection or a chronic bacterial infection, please consider not using antibiotics in the beginning, giving your body a chance to really heal itself and to and restore yourself with some of the lifestyle modifications. What I've also seen is that contraceptive use also affects, you know, the vaginal mm-hmm. ecosystem. So just looking at how you're protecting yourself when you are having your sexual encounters, how are you preparing or protecting yourself from sexually transmitted diseases, but also keeping the vaginal flora in check and using things that are going to be kind to the vagina as opposed to not so kind. So I think that overall we can do a better job as vagina wearers to understand our bodies better and to better take care of them, not to be guilted or to be shamed into using products that are not necessary. Those products that are right. out there, just like, you know, everything that comes in cycles, you know. We have this idea of everything is dirty, let's cleaning up. Now the world is on this wave of all natural products. And so we have a lot of things that are coming down the pike that, you know, are people putting, you know, garlic cloves in the vagina, herbs in the vagina, yoni eggs in the vagina and things of that nature. But what people are not understanding is that those things are porous and they harbor bacteria, they harbor yeast, and our entire environment, including our home, has microbiomes and have bacteria, and it's heavy laden with bacteria and yeast. If those things that you are using, also including sex toys, are not properly cleaned, then you're going to have those things be harbored on those devices or on those porous things like yoni eggs and things of that nature. And you're putting it back into the vagina after you've healed it. And so this is why we have people have recurrent infection. So I'm not really a supporter of a lot of the things out in the market. However, there are some things that will help to restore things and to restore the health of the vagina overall. And again, like I mentioned, those lifestyle modifications of eating well, hydrating well, taking care of your gut flora first and foremost. But secondly, also decrease in inflammatory response. And so what we've noticed too with vaginal yeast infections and also vaginal bacterial infections, that there is an inflammatory response going on. So there are some things that we can use as a co-treatment regimen to get people to, as they're starting to change lifestyle acts and they're trying to change their diet and they're replenishing their bodies with things like probiotics and things like that, we can add non-inflammatory markers or medications in there or herbal remedies in there to help sort of keep the stress of the ecosystem down so that the body can sort of do its reparative work. So anything that's going to be anti-inflammatory, immune boosting, those are things that we want to incorporate into your modifications of your life, into your diet and into your process of wellness.
Wow, that's amazing. You mentioned so many things I want to touch on. First things first is that, you know, reducing anti-inflammatories is incredibly important in sexual health. But you know what? At Pleasure Talks, we love about anti-inflammatories. Weed, of course.
Yes.
So all of that cannabis goes hand in hand, which is so beautiful, which you haven't talked on much today, but definitely goes in hand. And I think what it really comes down to on keeping like a happy and healthy yoni is consistency, whether that's your diet or your hygiene and your hygiene for your toys. I think that's really what people really need to hone down if it's becoming a very chronic thing, naturally. Right. And, something I wanted to also touch on is that, like you mentioned, there's a lot of new sexual health products on the market today, but they're so frilly. And I think that you and myself can totally agree that they're so frilly in the sense where we have all of these cool washes and we have all of these cool lubes and we have all of these crazy sex toys, which are amazing. But it's so important to get to the root of things and, you know, have really clean ingredients and have good practices, because the taboo-ness on sexual health is so prevalent that the fear of, you know, vaginal smell or, you know, the fear of not having like an orgasm or all of those like false fears that that like sexual health companies prey on from women, not even just young women, are so incredibly important, which is why we created Pleasure Talks as this platform for women just to like learn more about their own, you know, genitals and their sexuality and themselves, really, because I think that's what's really missing is women don't know enough about our flora, our anatomy, absolutely, our bodies, you know, our what aesthetically, what it even looks like. I've talked to so many women who have, yes, never even seen their pussy. And yes, that disconnect has really made us so disconnected from our beautiful womb space that has an incredible ecosystem and tons of womb wisdom as well, if you pair it with meditation. So we really owe it to ourselves to connect with ourselves. So thank you so much for just bringing that back to me, because that taboo-ness in sexual health always gets me, because I love talking about sexuality and sexual health and sex, period. But I find that still it's really hard to have those conversations, but I'm so grateful that you're here with me and having these very important talks.
Absolutely.
One thing that you mentioned last time we talked that was super cool was that we have different types of vaginal fluid, which was really cool to me, because ever, yeah, since you mentioned them, I've been noticing when my, like, you know, yoni is in those different types of fluids, which is so, mm-hmm, fun. So what are the different types of fluids?
Yes. So basically, when we say vaginal fluids or vaginal fluids, that is actually a mixture, right, of whatever just comes out of the vagina. But there's so many different fluids that comprise the vaginal fluid. And so many people don't understand that there is a process that the reproductive organs are going through. And most people know, okay, well, I had my period, but they just count that period or that menses for that 3 to 7 days or however, you know, long the person's cycle is. But they forget that that is just a small segment of the actual cycle, and that the cycle is going on continuously, replenishing itself in a cycle. And so that whole process needs to definitely be understood. So the vaginal discharge is, again, just discharge that literally comes out and passes out of the vagina. And then that's the non-period fluid. And then, of course, then there's the period fluid. So that vaginal fluid or that vaginal discharge is comprised of just normal vaginal lubrication. And that can be adjusted or changed based on where you are in your cycle. Sometimes you're more lubricated than you are in, you know, another part of your cycle. It also can be affected by age. Older women or vagina wearers are more drier in their older age than maybe younger individuals with vaginas because of the hormonal changes that are happening. And so most women or most individuals who have vaginas have the vaginal lubrication as part of the fluid. Then there's arousal fluid. Arousal fluid obviously is fluids that are shown or produced or become more prevalent when there's arousal. And arousal can happen at any point. Arousal can be from just thinking about intimacy or being in the act of intimacy. So the vaginal fluid can increase during that time. And we see that that fluid is different from the vaginal lubrication fluid. There's also, you know, if you're using any other products in the vagina, there's fluids that are coming from that. Or so saliva and sperm are also parts of that comprise the vaginal fluid. So if you have had intercourse in the last 24 to 48 hours and it was semen was deposited into the vagina or saliva was deposited into or on the vulva, then you're going to also have that be mixed in the vaginal fluid. And then lastly is cervical fluid. And that's the fluid that actually goes through the most change. And the reason is because that fluid is coming directly from the uterus. The uterus is the unit where an individual would house a pregnancy. And so that is the part of the body or the part of the reproductive organ that goes through the most change in a month time. And so what happens on the natural, part of things is that the uterus is actually increasing its nutritive lining in the inner part of the uterus in preparation every single month for an implantation. And so when the egg is released and it's not fertilized, that lining has to shed. That lining and the shedding of that lining is your period. And so the nutritive addition to the vaginal or the uterine lining will shift to what the vaginal and the fluid will look like, because the cervical fluid is going through that significant change. And so individuals, for example, who are trying to actually get pregnant or not get pregnant are looking at, for example, their cervical fluid. When you wipe on and you're seeing the tissue, some individuals might have fluid that's sticky and stringy, or some might have it where it's really, really long, or some might have where it's pasty. And that is all going to change throughout the cycle based on fertility and based on where you are in the restorative portion of your menses. So again, vaginal fluid can look so many different ways throughout the month of that cycle, and can also be influenced by other things like lubrication, arousal, day old semen, or saliva, and then of course the cervical fluid.
Wow, so cool. I love it. I loved it because I think noticing the difference in the fluids really got me closer to my yoni, which is really beautiful. And I think I've done so many crazy things with my yoni, you know, starting a sexual health company 5 years ago. I've done so many cool things, but I think that this kind of experience is really fun in terms of just exploring my own body. I loved just like looking at it and looking at the different types of fluids and how differently they look in terms of color at different points and texture too, which was super cool. I think my favorite is the arousal fluid. We have favorites, but that was a really cool experience. So what are some, since I have you here, I was wondering, you probably have such a vast knowledge on yoni health or sexual health. What are one of the coolest or oddest things that you have found about the vagina? There's one thing that comes to mind.
for a healthcare provider like me, who has seen the vagina do so many things, from, you know, being in its worst state of infection to being in its blissful state when it's being used for pleasure to having, you know, a baby in the middle of that whole process. I've seen the vagina do many things, but what I have learned about the vagina is, and it's going to probably sound weird, but maybe not to you. The vagina is a resilient organ. It is so resilient. It is forgiving. It can change shape. It can do so many different things. It's very, very easy to heal. I've seen vaginas that, you know, you birth a baby and you wonder, how did this baby come out? And the vagina in 2 weeks later after, you know, the birth looks like nothing ever happened. You know, the vagina is a resilient organ. And I think that we have done such an disservice to ourselves as yoni wearers to ignore the power and the grace and the eloquence of that part of our body. I think we pay a lot of homage and respect to other organs of our body, but the vaginal area is literally the only organ in the entire universe that continues to keep giving life. And so I think that we need to look at the vagina, and I agree wholeheartedly. One of the things that I have, you know, professed in my profession is, you know, in my work actually in care with individuals, is get to know your vagina and don't be apologetic about it. Don't be sorry about it. Don't be hushed about it. You know, it's okay. It's nothing wrong with that. I think because sex has been such a demonized and ridiculed thing, that I think people don't understand that looking at your body and checking in on your vagina is just as good as checking in on your heart and making sure your heart is beating, and checking in on your lungs and making sure you're breathing well and you're well overall. The vagina also deserves that same respect, and in my opinion, so much more. And so that would be my sort of, you know, hit point or take home, you know, message for individuals would be to just really respect that space. Don't try to make your vagina something that it's not, because it's everything it needs to be anyway.
Right. You know? I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And your vagina doesn't need to be compared to anyone else's. It is yours. And it's beautiful like it is. I've had many people come to me and want vaginal repairs. That's a whole nother thing, a whole nother topic. Like, they don't like their labia, or the inner labor is too big and this and that, or this part is not right. And, you know, and so I find that individuals are really struggling with just loving their vaginas and being okay with that.
Yes, so much. Yes. Resilient. I love that. It's a great word for the vagina, because it does so much and it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
No, not at all.
It gives life, you know.
Absolutely.
It takes a beating, you know. It deserves so much respect than what we give it, even the women that own it themselves. And I think that's the craziest part, is that there's such this shame and stigma around it, and it comes from so many different things. And I think it just is really important for a woman to understand it's okay to have that shame, and it's okay to work through it every day, you know, and it's okay to acknowledge that, and it's not your fault. You know, it comes from a million different aspects. I remember being so young, I think maybe I was like around 8 or 10 years old, and my grandmother was looking through this, I guess it was like a sex health book, and she came across a picture of a woman masturbating, and she was like, oh, this is how you put a condom on a banana, but you see what this girl's doing, don't do that. You know, good girls don't masturbate. So like, that thing was in my head growing up, and I don't know how exactly it affected me, but I felt like it never made me want to touch myself growing up for so long. And that created this huge disconnection from my body. And I think it's so important for people to explore that, because if you're not having a healthy sex life, you're not having a healthy life. It just goes hand in hand. It's going to go dormant. There is a lot of energy there, and it deserves it deserves to be acknowledged, right? That's what I'm trying to get down to. This has been an amazing episode. I absolutely loved everything we talked about today. For our last few questions, I was wondering, do you have any tips for our listeners to go home with? I know they've learned so much already, but any lasting tips that you may have for people?
Leave the vagina alone. Stop trying to fix it. It's not broken. Now, if you have a chronic yeast or bacterial infection, then yes, there needs to be action steps to replenish your body's ecosystem and to work towards overall vaginal health. Absolutely. But once that health is achieved, and it can be, with, you know, certain treatment regimens, I would say, again, stay away from antibiotics if you can at all, and go to your first remedies, which would be lifestyle modifications, adjusting your diet, increasing your intake of good probiotics, and specifically probiotics that are going to promote vaginal health. And once you do those things, and that vaginal health has been restored, then covet it. Be good stewards when it comes to your vagina. Take care of your vagina. Learn your vagina. If you feel something that does not feel right, you know, then you need to make some corrections or readjust. You don't want to ignore your vagina, because vaginas don't like to be ignored. Vaginas are like your girlfriend is, you know, or your good girlfriend who's like, you know, your best friend since grade school. If you ignore her, she will make sure that you recognize that she's there. So, respect your vagina and understand your vagina. Don't be afraid to explore and to search and to understand. I have met so many individuals that don't even know where, you know, the vaginal opening is, or what the whole structure of the vulva looks like. so many people are just really misinformed. And I think that, like you mentioned, not to continue to feel shamed by it, but you know, one day when you're in the shower, pass your hand past your vagina and feel what things are, you know, look in the mirror, say, hey, vagina, what's up? You know, like really check in on yourself and be okay with it. And once you get to a point of comfort, then you can invite your partner to do the same.
I love that. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. One thing that I would love to add to that is that your last thing that you left with was just bringing your partners after.
Yes.
Not before, after. There was one point in my life where I was so annoyed that a man could know how to arouse me so easily, but I couldn't even arouse myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel that I've heard this from so many other women as well. And I think it's so empowering to do that yourself. And it's such a beautiful journey as well. And that goes from the starting beginnings, from just looking at it to mm-hmm. then, you know, exploring with touch and then feel and taste. But thank you so much for sharing your journey. And I hope this has encouraged a lot of you ladies or even men who are listening to, you know, continue this journey a little bit deeper.
Absolutely. One thing that I would want to say, and you triggered this thought, is that we also as parents need to stop shaming our children, because the exploration of our vaginal and our penises, all of that is done as children. They do it very well, and they're very inquisitive, and they do a lot of exploration. And that should be fostered, and that should be encouraged, and that should not be shamed. And it starts with children. When you have a little boy who has a diaper off and he's, you know, squeezing the life out of his penis, well, you might think he's doing something wrong to himself. Trust me, he's not going to hurt himself. If he's in pain, he'll stop what he's doing. He's enjoying himself. Let him do it. The same thing with a little girl as she's in the bath and she's tickling herself. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think another piece is just allowing us to, as normal human beings, we have it in us to be inquisitive of our bodies. We need to foster that as parents who are now raising other little human beings, and don't shame them for doing so, encouraging them and letting them know that that's okay.
Yes. Yes. So important. Thank you so much for sharing. 'Cause it starts at home 1,000% at really young ages. Yes. And it's really cool and beautiful, I think, as a part of life. Mm-hmm. So where can, people find you? Did you want to plug anything?
Yeah, so I can be found right now on Instagram at Sakina Health or underscore health. Sakina, I just actually changed it, so that's why I'm sounding like I don't know what it is. So it's Sakina, Sakina underscore health. On Instagram. I am not currently practicing as a midwife. I am more now doing online counsel to clients and educating people on a larger platform.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for spending the last, 45 minutes with me, Takiya. I think you have so much to offer, and I'm really happy with the episode we created today. You guys are going to love this. Share this with someone who needs, right? Share this with someone who needs to look at their pussy, play with their pussy more. We all have that one friend. Just share it. Don't say anything. Just say that you need to listen. Thank you so much for another dope episode on the Pleasure Talks podcast. See you next time. Ciao.
Bye.
Thank you.